This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So one of the changes has been that we're going to start with the Muqaddimah of Sahih Muslim. So in this way we also learn something about Sahih Muslim. And it will be also introduction of Sahih Bukhari and also the methodology of Imam Bukhari and Muslim both. So we learn from exactly what Imam Muslim said. Very often when people learn the methodology of Imam Bukhari Muslim, they learn through the books of Mustalah al-Hadith. You know, you read Nukhbat al-Fikr and books like that. So that where you learn what is the methodology of Imam Bukhari Muslim. But we don't learn directly from them. So this is an effort to learn directly from Imam Muslim what he wants to teach. What exactly his book is, and from that also we can learn or at least find out somehow that what Imam Bukhari's methodology is, inshallah. So these two books, Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, as everybody knows, they are the most sound books of Islam. And Hadith sciences, they have developed very well actually in the first and second century of Hijrah. By the time of Bukhari Muslim, they became on their height. So in terms of the narrators, their biographies, and all those things, these scholars, they have done so much work that no nation ever has done. So in biographies of the companions, then tabi'een, and then people after them, and also studying properly that, how accurate is their narrations and things like that. And on the basis of that, they were able to judge who is more authentic, who is less authentic, who is weak, and who is not, who is a strong narrator, all these things. And then comparing between the narrations of the of all these people. So it took a lot of time, but alhamdulillah, they were able by that time to do all those things as clearly as possible. Muwatta of Malik Rahimullah was written very early. So by that time, the science was not so advanced. Still, Imam Malik Rahimullah managed to basically produce a book which was the best book up to that time. But as I mentioned, science, the science kept developing more and more until Imam Bukhari and Muslim, these people come. When they wrote these two books, very quickly, it became very clear that these two books are the best books on Hadith. Like when Muwatta was written, very quickly people realized that is the best book. It did not take any century or any period of time to understand Muwatta. Everybody knew when Malik wrote Muwatta, it became very clear during his lifetime that Muwatta is the best book of Hadith and Fiqh. And that's why people from all over the world, from Spain, from Khurasan, from Iraq, from everywhere, they start coming to learn Muwatta from Malik. So it is during the lifetime of Malik, Muwatta became famous and Muwatta became so important. As Imam Abu Hanifa's fiqh became important and famous during his lifetime. It did not take any century to understand Imam Abu Hanifa's fiqh. Even when he was alive and people who are his contemporary, they admitted that the fiqh is so advanced. And that way Imam Shafi Rahimullah, who is actually among the first students of Malik, he made very clear that there is no book more sound than Muwatta. So when Bukhari Muslim were written down, people who were in the field, they could see with their eyes where these books are coming from, what the narrators are, how they have been selected. Most of that, like when Bukhari Muslim, when they select Hadith, this is not just their work. In the classroom those days, students used to discuss, in every subject, in every chapter, what are the best Hadith. So most of these things already were accepted and known to the people. So when Bukhari Muslim, they produce their work, people are already familiar. They know really in this chapter, these are the best Hadith. And they could see that what they have done is actually according to norms accepted by all the people. So this theory that Bukhari became so important after one century or this century, this is not right. Many people don't understand. What happens is some people actually, they're looking for a particular reference. If somebody used the word like most sound or something like that, so then they think this is the first time Bukhari has been accepted as the best book. This is not true. If you read the history of that early period, you can see very clearly, as soon as Sahih Bukhari was written down, people accepted. People like Abu Zur'a al-Razi, all the people in the field of the Hadith, even Ahmad Hanbal, people like that, they accepted that this is amazing work. And they accepted this actually, you know, they could have some mistake they can find, but they could see among all the books which exist, they are the best. People have seen. So few books became very early as the main books of Islam. And there are reference for that from where even actually can see Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala, he is actually contemporary and the Imam Bukhari, he keeps referring to Sahih Bukhari. So that, you know, that's very clear. And also you can see Ibn Abi Hatim al-Razi, who is son of Abu Hatim al-Razi, he keeps referring to these people. So their effort and what they have done was accepted from very beginning. Why I'm saying this? Because, you know, you can see really the one of the way the Orientals study these things is so different. Their way is always to find actually, you know, exactly, you know, certain phrase which can make clear that these are the best book. But if you read the history of the works of the Hadith at that time, you can see that no work at that time exists which can be compared with Bukhari. If the people have no doubt about that. For example, it took ages to include Ibn Majah among six books. So that you could see, because there are so many works, you know, equal to Ibn Majah, or more important than Ibn Majah. Ibn Majah also is the, you know, contemporary of these people. Ibn Majah died in year 273. But, you know, to include Sunan Ibn Majah among the six books, it took many, many centuries. Because for many people, there are works much more important than Ibn Majah. To some people, there are works equal to Ibn Majah. So there could be some problem to accept Ibn Majah or Sunan Darimi. To include Sunan Darimi among the main books of Islam, it took, you know, a lot of time. But it never has been disputed among the people to recognize Sahih Bukhari Muslim, you know, as early as possible. In any century after they have been written, since they have been written down, everybody is coming to learn them. People admire them, they accept them. Whenever people talk anywhere, what are the main books of Islam, the first name come to their mind is Bukhari Muslim. These two names are the first that became very, very clearly, very early established. I'll just mention, you know, one story, and that will tell you, you know, that how from very early people accepted these books. So Ibn Asakir has written his Tariq Dimashq al-Kabir. And Imam Mizzi had written Tahdhib al-Kamal that Abu Ali Sa'id ibn Uthman ibn Sakan. What is his name? Abu Ali Sa'id ibn Uthman ibn Sakan. He's well known. His books are well. He was expert of Hadith al-Hafiz al-Baghdadi Nazilu Misr. Later he settled in Egypt. Originally from Baghdad, but settled in Egypt. He died in the year 353. But this thing, you know, he became teacher very early. So one day, all the people, a group of the people of the Hadith, they came to him and said to him, "Inna al-kutuba fil Hadith qad kathurat alayna." There are so many writings in Hadith. You can see really that by that time, there are hundreds of them written. Not even only one, two. Hundreds of the books are there. From Masanid, Ma'ajim, in Musannafat, Sunan, hundreds of the books are written. So people of the Hadith came to him and they said, "There are so many books, plenty. Inna al-kutuba fil hadith qad kathurat alayna. Falaw dallana al-shaykh ala shay'in naqtasiru alayhi minha." We want the shaykh, means the teacher, if he can tell us what are the main books, you know, that we can find ourselves. Fasakata anhu. He became quiet. وَدَخَلَ إِلَىٰ بَيْتِهِ فَأَخْرَجَ أَرْبَعَ رِزَامٍ. And then he took out from his house four piles of the book. فَوَدَعَ بَعْدَهَا عَلَىٰ بَعْدٍ. And he put them in order, one, the second, the third one, the fourth one. And he said, هَذِهِ قَوَاعِدُ الْإِسْلَامِ. These are the foundations of Islam. These books are foundations of Islam. كتاب البخاري وكتاب مسلم وكتاب أبي داود وكتاب النسائي. So first time we got four books. So even you can see Imam Nasai has died, you know, Imam Nasai رحمه الله died in the year 303. And Ibn Sakhan is saying this thing, just basically Ibn Sakhan is among the students of Imam Nasai anyway. So he's a second generation. And by the time, you know, even before the reference of Imam Nasai is there, but I'm saying it, just you see, Imam Nasai, who died in the year 303, you know, just a few years later, you know, when people count four books of Islam, Imam Nasai's book is one of them. And Imam Nasai himself actually accepted Bukhari's work. The Bukhari is the best in this matter. So you can see Bukhari being the top in the list that never has been disputed. Muslim also being next to it, that never has been disputed. Then after that, it took a little while to include these two other books, Abu Dawud and Nasai. So these four books, you can say earliest reference we got as a four books is this one. For the first two one, we got during the lifetime of Imam Bukhari Muslim. But first time when Muslims, you know, started talking about, you know, main books, main source of Islam. So the first time it was not six books, but four books. So when they mentioned four books, first one is Sahih Bukhari, then Sahih Muslim, no dispute. Then comes Abu Dawud and Nasai. So these four books. Then after a while, they also included Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Imam Tirmidhi book also became part of these. Qawaid al-Islam, Foundation of Islam, then they become five books very quickly. Earliest reference we don't know, but we have seen that Imam Abu Tahir al-Salafi, who lived 100 years, so he was born in 400 something and died in 576. In his lifetime, when he started writing and teaching, he used to emphasize on the importance of Tirmidhi. And he is the first in reference we found as Tirmidhi being part of these important works of Islam. First time we found clear reference in the writings of Abu Tahir al-Salafi. It could be even before that, but the first time clear reference. So now from four books we became to five books. And he wrote in the Muqaddimah, of his Sunan, he said, وَأَمَّا كِتَابُ أَبِي دَاوُودِ فَهُوَ أَحَدُ الْكُتُبِ الْخَمْسَ أَلَّتِي he wrote a Muqaddimah to introduce Sunan of Abu Dawood. In that Muqaddimah he writes, فَأَمَّا كِتَابُ أَبِي دَاوُودِ فَهُوَ أَحَدُ الْكُتُبِ الْخَمْسَ أَلَّتِي اتَّفَقَ أَهَلُ الْحَلِّ وَالْعَقْدِ مِنَ الْفُقَهَاءِ وَحُفَّاظِ الْحَدِيثِ النبهاء على قبولها والحكم بصحة أصولها. He is saying the people who are like Ahlul Hal wal Aqd among the Fuqaha and expert of the Hadith, meaning at least they must be five teachers. If he is born in 470 or something like that, the meaning is at least his teachers will be before him. The meaning is in the middle of 4th century or beginning of the 5th century, basically Sunan al-Tirmidhi is part of those books which are considered as the foundation of Islam. So Tirmidhi also became part of that in the early. So he says five books. And then he also said, وَأَمَّا السُّنَنْ فَكِتَابٌ لَهُ صِيْتٌ فِي الْآفَاقِ وَلَا يُرَى مِثْلُهُ فِي عَلَى الْإِطْلَاقِ وَهُوَ كَمَا ذَكَرْتُ أَحَدُ الْكُتُبِ الْخَمْسَةِ الَّتِي اتَّفَقَ عَلَيْهَا عُلَمَاءُ الشَّرْقِ وَالْغَرْبِ. He includes Tirmidhi and he says ulama of Sharq and Gharb, East and West, everywhere they agree. So this agreement must have come, you know, after a long time. So more likely by the end of the 4th century or beginning of the 5th, Tirmidhi also became part of this thing. So we've got five books now. Al-Kutub al-Khamsa. يا أما كتاب أبي داود فهو أحد الكتب الخمسة التي اتفق أهل الحل والعقد من الفقهاء وحفاظ الحديث النبهاء على قبولها والحكم بصحة أصولها. Then أبو العباس أحمد ابن ثابت ابن محمد الطرقي died in the year 521. أبو العباس أحمد ابن ثابت ابن محمد الطرقي died in 521. Al-Azdi al-Hafidh, he wrote Atraful Kutub al-Khamsa. Atraf al-Kutub al-Khamsa. Atraf used to be like index. If you want to know a hadith where it's found, so they used to write the first sentence or first beginning of a hadith, and they will tell where you can find it. So he wrote Atraful Kutub al-Khamsa. So you can see, it must be by that period already known to the people these five books. And then Hazmi comes in 500, he died in 584, and he wrote his book Shurutul Aimmatil Khamsa, which everybody knows. And then after that, everybody includes all these five books in Nawawi and Ibn Salah. And everybody agrees five books are the Usul of Islam. Then, little bit later, we don't know exactly, people started saying Al Kutub Sitta, six books. So Kutub Al Kutub Sitta or Al Usul Sitta, that word came little bit after, during the 6th century, after that. Which is the 6th book? That has been disputed. The 5 books have been agreed upon. Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasai. These 5 books have been agreed from the middle of 4th century, or end of 4th century, or beginning of 5th century. At least 4 books from the middle of 4th century. But 5th one may be a little later. The 5 books have been agreed. Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasai. Then in the 7th century, people started saying 6 books. The 6th book has been disputed. Sorry? 7th. Beginning of 7th, maybe 6th as well, but it is 7th is where people can find indication that where people start saying Al Kutubu Sitta, Al Usul Sitta.
When you say 7, you mean 700 or something?
No, 600 something, yeah. 7th century. So people in Morocco, or western part of Muslim world, or maybe Spain, they included Muwatta. So when there's a 6th book, they have these 5 books and Muwatta. So Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasai, and Muwatta. So all this, there's 6 books. People in the East, they started saying Ibn Majah. But Ibn Majah was not so strong. So some people used to change to Darimi. Sunan Darimi or Sunan Ibn Majah. That remained. Until Al-Hafidh Abu'l-Fadl Al-Maqdisi, he wrote his book Shurutul Aimmati Sitta. And that one he includes Ibn Majah. So that actually how it becomes 6. So if you really want to know 6, yeah, that it took a while for the people to start saying Al-Kutub Sitta or Al-Usul Sitta. But as far as Bukhari and Muslim are concerned, during the lifetime of Bukhari Muslim, these two books became the most important books of Islam. Anybody who in the field of the hadith, they could see really that, we have been discussing Sahih hadith, sound hadith in the classroom. These are the books which actually have got them. So, even people like, the teachers, they could see. And during the lifetime of these people, their basically, scholarship and their expertise was well established among the people. So it is not true that Bukhari became important, one century later or something. No, Bukhari was important during the lifetime. It is only a blind person who can say something like that. Actually, if you see the book, Sahih Bukhari, and compare it with anything, in that time, nobody can actually even think really anything nearer to Sahih Bukhari. It is such a clear, such a pure book. Same Sahih Muslim. And Imam Muslim only became important because of his book. Otherwise, during the time of Imam Muslim, Muslim not like Bukhari. Bukhari, if did not write Sahih Bukhari, still he is a big man. Because his knowledge and expertise, he's like Abu Hatim al-Razi, Abu Zura al-Razi. These two people did not write any Sahih book. But they are well known among the experts of the hadith. They know the idol. Same Bukhari. Bukhari's expertise was well known among the people like Abu Zura al-Razi, Abu Hatim al-Razi. But when he wrote book, no doubt, he became more important. Muslim was not so well recognized. The only reason Muslim became important during his lifetime is because he wrote this book. That book make clear to the people that he is also expert same way as Imam Bukhari and Abu Hatim al-Razi and Abu Zura al-Razi. So his book made him important. So no doubt. And one thing I claim, inshallah, in the process, collecting all the information, to make very clear that Bukhari Muslim, Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, they became foundations of Islam and most sound book. Not after one century, during that lifetime of Imam Bukhari Muslim, the references. when Dar Qutni actually in right critic, not because, you know, because of Dar Qutni became important. Dar Qutni is doing this because it's already important. The reason Dar Qutni actually is taking these two books and writing Tatabbu' al-Nizam, why he's choosing these two books? Just think really. If there are many other books equal to them, why Dar Qutni has to start with these two books? Dar Qutni wrote his book at Tatabbu' al-Nizam. He could have written Tatabbu' al-Nizam for Nasai as well, or for something, because he also accepts Nasai is very important. But why Dar Qutni has to choose, you know, these two books? From here, you can see anybody, like Imam Hakim. Why Hakim has to write Mustadrak al-Sahihain? Why not something else? It means when there is two, already these things are established. And in Hakim's Kalam, there are many indications that people already have been accepting these two books. That's why he wants to clarify, he wants to say that some people are bid'ah, they think Sahih Hadith is what is Sahih Bukhari Muslim. I want to know there are more Sahih Hadith. So it is not true really that, you know, Bukhari and Muslim became important because of the writing of Dar Qutni or Hakim. No, Dar Qutni and Hakim only in work on these two books because these two books already have been important. And that's why after these two books, when people write what we call Mustakharajat. Mustakharaj basically means an expert of the Hadith, who can write his own book. But he knows really, he can't produce a work like Bukhari. They know they can't produce a work like Sahih Muslim. So even if they make all effort, they can't do something like that. So then new ideas started. Okay, we accept these are best book, but at least we can narrate the same hadith with our own isnad. So mustakhraj of Bukhari means you take the hadith of Sahih Bukhari, but you bring that hadith through your own isnad. So why people starting from the 4th century, in writing Mustakharajat and Sahih Bukhari Muslim. Abu Amana, who is a student of Imam Muslim, he writes Mustakharaj. Ismaili, he's so early, he writes Mustakharaj. Why these two books are Mustakharajat? Why people don't have Mustakharaj and anything else? If there are any book in Islam equal to Bukhari Muslim, when people write Mustakharaj, why they don't write Mustakharaj on any other book? And actually, that people say, somebody said that Ismaili was able, he could have written his own Sahih book. And he should have done. To Imam Dhahabi comments, it is Imam Ismaili's expertise, and he understanding that he wrote Mustakharaj, because he knows he can't do anything equal to Sahih Bukhari. That well known to these people. So these two books became central from the very beginning. The people around these two books writing, Mustakharaj on that, Mustadrak, or criticizing the book. Dar Qutni, when he used to write criticism, he did not choose any other book. He knows these are important work. They are the one where he needs to work something. And the reason I'm spending so much time, because there is misunderstanding, and misunderstanding has been being growing for a long time, and many Hanafi people, they also add to that. I don't understand why Hanafi people have to people have no idea really that nothing to do with madhab. You cannot make Kitabul Athar anywhere near to these books. This is impossible. Somebody who is blind, even actually not blind person, nobody can think about that. But I don't understand why, if it started with my teacher, Maulana Abdul Rashid Nu'mani. He's the first person who used to insist that the most sound book in Islam after Quran is Kitabul Athar of Abu Hanifa, Rahimullah Ta'ala. And I discussed with him, and there's no argument. First thing really, they never have been proven that this book ever has been written down by Abu Hanifa. So I wrote an article, and I've written a second article to refute the second article. Some misunderstanding, there's some new question, so I'm dealing with that. There's no single proof actually it has been. Had it been Abu Hanifa, the work, that should be the first work Hanafi people have been reading. But in Hanafi madhab, the most important works are the writings of Imam Muhammad, and the six books. What they call Kutubu Zawahir Raya. If Abu Hanifa writes himself something, that should be the most important work in any madhab. Like in Maliki madhab, the most important work is Muwatta for any Maliki. In Shafi madhab, the most important thing is Imam Shafi's own writing, or Risala, whatever he wrote, that is the most important thing. Imam Hanifa writes himself something, that should be the most important work of the madhab. People should read. Nobody knows that work. Actually, even it's not part of Zawahir Riwayah. We don't have any continuous isnad of the Sama of these books. Nothing. Does not exist. And there's so many problems in that. So nothing to do with, and then making or accusing Abdid Bukhari, Muslim, of many things. I've seen really what people, because in order to prove that, you know, Kitab al-Athar is so important, they want to criticize Bukhari Muslim. So this is not right. You know, anybody who criticize these two books, really, they criticize themselves. Because the books are no amazingly, you know, so great. So that's one thing, you know, inshallah, in this class, I will emphasize that. That's why I chose Muqaddimah of Sahih Muslim, to make very clear what Muslim himself said about his book, what exactly he's doing, and what has been misunderstood by many, many people. So before starting Sahih Muslim, just few things, just, you know, some little introduction, Abi Muslim, rahimahullah ta'ala, and then we start the Muqaddimah, how it is. Truth really is, these books don't need a Muqaddimah. Because when you mention, when you say these names, when you say Sahih, that is the introduction. Because what Sahih means, it was understood by the experts of the Hadith those days. So when you say this Hadith Sahih, the people like Abu Zur'a al-Razi, Abu Hatim al-Razi, they exactly know what you mean. So that is well known. That's why Bukhari did not make effort to write Muqaddimah, because his name of a book is very clear what he means. But later on, people don't understand, people are not in the field, so they don't understand what Bukhari means. But those, when he wrote, this thing was already known, that knowledge available. Imam Muslim also did not want to write a Muqaddimah. Imam Muslim wanted to write a Muqaddimah because in his time, a bid'ah, a something new started in Islam, he wanted to refute that. For refuting of that new bid'ah, new idea in Islam, he wrote this Muqaddimah. So the main emphasis in the Muqaddimah is a refutation of something. That's why he was basically like an obliged to write Muqaddimah. Otherwise, the books themselves, the name is very clear what they're doing. Imam Muslim, rahimullah ta'ala, his name is Abu, his kunyat Abu Hussein, and name is Muslim ibn al-Hajjaj, ibn Muslim, ibn Ward, ibn Kushad. You can see, it is not, they are not Arab people. So just within a few generations, you can see the name is non-Arabic. So he's Muslim, father Hajjaj, and grandfather Muslim, Muslim ibn al-Hajjaj ibn Muslim, and then the fourth generation is Ibn Ward. The Ward is not Arabic name, and then Ibn Kushad. So it's all Central Asian name. Al-Qushayri, Qushayri does not mean he's from Bani Qushayri, just Wilan. They used to have been Wila Mualat, you know, just affiliation to a tribe. And Naisaburi, because from Nishapur, from well-known family, good family. He was born in, more likely in the year 206, because we don't know exactly. Some people say 204, some people make less, some people more. But there are more indication that he was born in the year 206. If it's true, then he is 10 years younger than Bukhari, because Bukhari was born in 194. So it easy, it no doubt really, we can understand that Muslim will miss many, many shuyukh of Bukhari, because by that time, Muslim starts learning, many of some teachers of Bukhari would have died, because Bukhari, anything you can see that if Bukhari starts learning, he will start 10 years before Muslim. If both start learning at the same age, then in every single thing, Bukhari will be 10 years senior to Muslim. And that exactly happened. And a little bit problem also happened. 10-year gap, and the second thing is, both are two different. Bukhari is more active. Muslim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he is a little bit lazy. So that laziness affected, you know, his getting high isnad. He could have got something very higher, but this problem happened. Bukhari is not Bukhari from very beginning. And actually, his circumstances helped him to become, to be remain active. So your Muslim, rahimahullah ta'ala, first time when he started hearing the hadith, it was the year 218. 218. So you can see, you know, is 12 year old or something like that. So Bukhari even started earlier than that. Bukhari was basically when he was 10 year old or 11 year old, he used to discuss in the classroom. So you can see Bukhari, in that matter, Bukhari is always, you can see, more active. He started learning, and he started learning from the people like Yahya ibn Yahya al-Tamimi, who died in the year 226. Yahya ibn Yahya al-Tamimi. So Imam Muslim got Yahya ibn Yahya al-Tamimi. So Yahya, the people who narrate Muwatta from Malik, few of them are called Yahya. One is Yahya ibn Abdullah ibn Bukair. he narrates Muwatta from Malik. One of the Muwatta Riwayat Muwatta is called Riwayat Yahya ibn Bukayr. So he is Yahya ibn Abdullah ibn Bukayr from Egypt. He is also Yahya. Second, Yahya is Yahya ibn Yahya al-Laythi al-Maliki al-Andalusi. His Muwatta became more famous, but people in the East, they did not know it. So there is no narration from Yahya ibn Yahya al-Laythi in any of these books. So now, when you say Muwatta, that's what everybody understands, Muwatta of Yahya ibn Yahya al-Laythi. But that was not known to people like Bukhari Muslim. They did not have any access to that Muwatta. So in these books, there is no narration of Hadith of Muwatta from Yahya ibn Yahya al-Laythi, because he was in Spain, he was in Andalus. The third one, who is important in narration Muwatta, with name of Yahya, is this Yahya. Yahya ibn Yahya al-Tamimi. Muslim was lucky that he got all Muwatta from this Yahya. So Hadith of Muwatta in Muslim is mostly from Yahya ibn Yahya al-Tamimi. Then Muslim went for Hajj in the year 220, he left for Hajj. So I can say 10 years after Bukhari goes for Hajj in year 210, and Muslim leaves in 220. So if Muslim actually has done same with Bukhari, you know, so we can't blame him anything, but didn't happen really. He went for Hajj in 220, and he heard Muwatta from Qanabi. Qanabi was the eldest sheikh Muslim ever can meet. So at least he should have learned all Muwatta from him. Then he did not in Yahya Tamimi. His Muwatta would have been very high and one of the important narration in Sahih Muslim. But what happens is, he came very quickly to his house. He left Makkah and he come back to his homeland. He did not continue journey. That is not what Bukhari did. When Bukhari went 210, he continued learning. He continued traveling. So he got all the big shuyukh. Muslim did not do this. Muslim went for Hajj in 220, 10 years after Bukhari, but he got back very quickly. He only heard hadith from few people. One of them is Qanabi, some hadith, not even, you know, properly. And second one is Ahmed and Yusuf, Yunus, and few people like that, and quickly came home. Then he, nearly after 10 years, again goes for traveling. After nearly around when he's 230, or maybe little bit before that. See, by that time, Bukhari is a well-established person. The Muslim became very late. If Muslim had continued, you know, traveling after when he left for Hajj, 220, then no doubt really he would have been, you know, Baha'i, Sanad, and all those things that he got all the big books. But that he came quickly to his home. And that is, this is one, you know, Book of Muslim is a really amazing book. But one of the things that anybody can see very clearly, you know, which really is not a proprietary book like that Isnad of Muslim is Nazil. It's low Isnad. Even Abu Dawud is higher than him. Muslim in this matter is not, you know, not high. Bukhari is no doubt very top in this matter, very, very top, but not Muslim. Then he came back. Still he could have got some people. He got some weak people. One of them is Ali ibn al-Ja'ad al-Jawhari. Ali ibn al-Ja'ad al-Jawhari. Ali ibn al-Ja'ad al-Jawhari lived very long life. It is good. Muslim was lucky to get him. And Ali ibn al-Ja'ad al-Jawhari is also a high teacher for Bukhari as well. So Muslim came and he got Ali ibn al-Ja'ad al-Jawhari and many, many hadith. Ali ibn al-Ja'ad narrates hadith very highly from Shu'bah and from people like that. But the problem is Ali ibn al-Ja'ad al-Jawhari, he was not good in Aqidah. And Muslim is more strict about Aqidah than Bukhari. He was accused of some problem. One of them is that Ali ibn al-Ja'ad al-Jawhari used to sometimes criticize Sahaba, companions. So this thing Muslim did not like. What happens when Muslim later on wrote his book, Sahih, then he did not include any hadith of Ali ibn al-Ja'ad in his book. Muslim accepted to make his book lower, but he did not accept to include Ali ibn al-Ja'ad in his book. If he included him, then he had, in Sahih Muslim, there is no single hadith where Muslim narrates directly from Sufyan and Shu'bah. There is no single hadith. If Muslim has taken Ali ibn al-Ja'ad, then he could narrate hadith directly from Shu'bah. directly. Bukhari has got so many. Bukhari also not from Al-Imjad. In every chapter, Bukhari has got... Bukhari did not reject Al-Imjad. Muslim rejected him. So that made a Muslim book lower. For a reason, you know, Muslim is more strict in this matter. Then after that, Muslim traveled to Iraq, Haramain, and Egypt, you know, all these places. People divide, you know, Bukhari's teachers in five classes. Top one, those who narrate hadith from Tabi'in. Those are the people who made hadith of Bukhari Thulati, between Bukhari and the Prophet, three people. So the top people in Bukhari, in Sahih Bukhari, are those who narrate hadith from Tabi'in, like Makki Ibrahim and people like him. Then second generation of Bukhari's teachers are those people who made Tabi'in, maybe did not narrate from them, or narrate but did not very strong, so, but still very, very high. These two classes, Muslim never met them. Muslim does not have any of them. So the two classes of Bukhari's teachers, Muslim, not Muslim even, in Abu Dawud and these people, they missed them. Then Bukhari has got his middle teachers, Tabaq al-Wusta. They are the highest people for Muslim and Abu Dawud and people like. So among them are people like Qutayba and Yahya Tamimi, these people. So they are the third generation, third class for Bukhari and the first for Muslim. And then what is fourth for Bukhari, that became second for Muslim. And what is fifth, that contemporary of Bukhari, that became the third generation, third class of Muslim teachers. So in this matter, Muslim is lower than Bukhari. His isnad is not high. In Sahih Muslim, there is no hadith which is thulathi. All the hadith, you know, just ruba'i. Means between him and the Prophet, highest isnad is four people. The Bukhari has got 22 hadith, where between him and the Prophet, there are, you know, three people. So that, inshallah, when Muqaddama comes, you can see. Okay, I'll continue something later on. But if you have any question, please ask. Is there a break?
No question.
Okay, if you have a question, please ask.
Regarding Kitab al-Athar, you mentioned that a sign of a book's acceptance, as it were, is it being taught within the madhahib, so the Muwatta of Imam Malik and the Risala in the madhahib of Imam Shafi'i. But then we have books of Imam Shafi'i, we have books in the Hanafi, I mean, the books of Imam Muhammad, for example, are not generally taught in the Hanafi schools.
Which book?
The books of Imam Muhammad, for example.
Imam Muhammad.
They're not generally taught in Hanafi schools. Yeah. So why do you see the sign of a book being taught generally as a sign of it being accepted within the madhab or from the original sources within the madhab? Does that make sense?
Yeah, but you know that is very late thing. In the beginning, Imam Muhammad's books were taught. They're popular. You know, at least until third or fourth century, even actually up to Bada'is, these people, they used to read his books. His books were popular. People used to read. Later on, when people became declined, you know, they got Hidayah and Bada'us Sana'i, so they became just, you know, they read these books. But before that, those are the books. Wahirubai, people used to read all the books of Muhammad until Saraqsi comes and he includes them in his Mabsut, the big book. You can part of that. But still, people know. To can see, like author of Hidayah keeps saying, you know, referring to book of Muhammad. Qala means Qala Muhammad. He keeps referring to Imam Muhammad, Rahimahullah Ta'ala. So they were there. But you know, now Hanafi madhab, no doubt really, like all madhab, decline happens so much. Now even they don't read, you know, books of Saraqsi or those people. Actually, even Bada'us Sana'i, hardly anybody reads the book that in madrasa they teach, the highest book is Hidayah. So it is so late. Because, you know, people just want, you know, something, you know, concise or something like that, or which can fit in, you know, in their understanding. Yeah, but you know, but in the early generation, no doubt, that was called Kutub Zahir Rivaya. Zahir Rivaya means it was spread. Everybody used to read. But same in Imam Shafi's book as well. Later on, Imam Shafi's book also, they're not probably in the beginning they were, but not later on. Later on, people start just, you know, they're reading books of Nawawi and Rafi'i and people like that.
JazakAllah khairan, Sheikh. Two questions. Firstly, Sheikh, when Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, started reading or learning from Imam Yahya ibn Yahya al-Tamimi, where was this that he started his Sama'a code?
Nishapur.
In Nishapur
itself. Yahya ibn Yahya al-Tamimi from Nishapur, from his own hometown, yeah.
And secondly, Sheikh, what was the, do we know roughly what the nature of the criticisms of Ali ibn Ja'ad al-Jawhari was, of the Sahaba? What was it that, because obviously I'm missing, yeah.
You know, there are few things, you know, he used. Like one of the things is, Ali ibn Ja'ad, for example, Abdullah ibn Umar later narrates that we used to compare among the Sahaba. We used to Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar, Uthman, and then, you know, it's like that. Ali ibn Ja'ad al-Jawhari does not like this thing because he's against, you know, this respect of Uthman or all this. He says someone who even does not know how to divorce. And it's not only that, he says a child who does not know how to divorce, comparing between Sahaba, comparing between Abu Bakr and Umar. So this is how he said about Abdullah Umar radiallahu anhu. The similar things he also said about other companions. Sometimes he denies, sometimes does not deny. Some people say he's like Jahmiya. So some people, there are actually very serious accusations against Ali ibn Ja'ad al-Jawhari. Ali ibn Ja'ad al-Jawhari was a pious person, no doubt. He's a pious person, he's very accurate. So his memory is very strong, his narrations are very good. Because Bukhari, in these cases, what he does, he looks for the people who academically they are sound. If the narrations are sound, so even if they are bidah, Bukhari does not mind and take hadith from them. Muslim does the same thing, but Muslim also takes in consideration more about bidah. This bidah more severe, and Ali ibn Ja'ad bidah was more severe compared to Muslim. So Muslim dropped him, did not narrate from him.
So Sheikh, is it possible that Imam Bukhari rahimullah actually felt that his tahqiq was that al-Jawhari's mawaqif was not what people were projecting of him? I.e., this was not correct, that what Jawhari was saying, maybe he was bari of it. Is that possible, or actually is...
But Bukhari has taken hadith, even people are worse than Jawhari. So, you know, I don't think we're different, because Bukhari's position is very clear. He will not narrate from someone who's accused in memory also. If somebody is academically very strong and narrates sound hadith, then bidah will not stop him. He will narrate hadith. And there are so many people of bidah. People of bidah in Bukhari are more than in Muslim. So it makes very clear that Bukhari is not so concerned about bidah, as later people become more concerned.
Sheikh Zakhla Khan, we know that Imam Muslim and Bukhari discussed the book with their teachers during their time, and then you mentioned from Abu Ali Sa'id ibn Uthman II, who died in 353, mentioning that it's one of the qawaid of Islam. But between the death of Bukhari and Muslim, so I think Muslim dies in 260 something. Between that period, do we have any reference to the book itself being taught or revered in those, maybe it's like 100 years almost, isn't it, between they pass away and the quotation from Abu Ali?
Yeah, because these are the books which have so much narrations. The Bukhari, during his time, there are many, many narrations from Bukhari, many, many important narrations. But from those people also narrations.
But the book itself, I mean, do we...
Yeah, the book. Sahih Bukhari is being narrated from Bukhari as it is.
As it is.
Yeah, it is. Not only Farabi, many people. There are many, many more riwayat. And then from those many people, there are many, many more riwayat.
Okay.
To from that. And that is the... When people are coming to the east from Baghdad or to these places, the first major thing they learn actually Bukhari.
Okay.
So you can see that this is becomes so important for the people. So from very early, people became famous for this part. You know, after Sahih Bukhari, we don't find any book has so much respect as Sahih Bukhari. Anywhere, if you read any biography, anywhere, that the first thing, if anybody wants to compare any writing, it will be compared with Sahih Bukhari.
And the second point, you mentioned Tirmidhi referencing Bukhari, but a lot of the time in Tirmidhi, he references Bukhari himself, as in he asked Bukhari something, Bukhari said X, Y, and Z. Does he reference his Sahih as a book, or is it?
Yeah, book. To say Al-Jami'a. He says in Al-Jami'a. To meaning Al-Jami'a, you know, just say Al-Jami'a, it means it's well known.
Yeah.
He just say Al-Jami'a. For example, he said that, you know, this hadith I asked Bukhari, which version is more right? He said, like, you know, hadith of Sutra of Allah about Najasa.
So
Bukhari did not make his mind. Though he said, but Bukhari in Al-Jami'a has mentioned the other one.
He
mentioned Al-Jami'a. So you can see Bukhari, Imam Tirmidhi knows Al-Jami'a. He knows this as a book, not just a main narration from Bukhari. So as a book, well known during the lifetime of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala.
We have one last question. you said that Imam Muslim felt the need to write the Muqaddimah because of some bid'ah that had arisen. So what was that? Was that people saying that narrators had to meet or putting that as a...
That was the main thing problem, because people of the hadith, they never made this condition. To them, actually, hadith, if somebody narrates from his contemporary, whether he use an or qala or any akhbarana or haddathana, all the same. Like Imam Malik, all time an, just an. So whether you say haddathana shaykhi or qala shaykhuna or an shaykhina, it's all connected. That what their way has been all the time. This is the first time that some people come, they say no, an and qala are not very clear, and we cannot accept unless there is a proof that they have met or they have heard from each other. But this never has been. If you start that one, that many hadith, sound hadith, will be dropped, because not necessarily we have proof for every single thing. That why he felt need to refute that. But unfortunately, what he's refuting is, later people, they make that is the sound opinion. What was bid'ah in his time, that becomes the sound opinion. And people think that Muslim is wrong. What Muslims say, ijma, they say ijma is on the contrary of what Muslim has been claiming. So it will inshallah come when I explain. But this is the reason he wrote a Muqaddimah. And Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala, when he started teaching, to expert of the hadith in that time, most of them they're coming and learning from him, all the big people, even Abu Hatim al-Razi narrate hadith from him. So you just imagine. So when he wrote Sahih Muslim, it becomes Abu Hatim al-Razi senior to Muslim. Abu Hatim al-Razi equal same way as Bukhari. But Abu Hatim al-Razi narrates hadith from Muslim. And then Musa ibn Harun al-Hafidh, Ahmad ibn Salama, Ibn Khuzaimah, who's in Imam al-Aimah. So people like him, then narrate from. And then big people, all Makki ibn Abdan, Abu Hamid ibn Sharqi, Al-Husayn ibn Muhammad ibn Ziyad, Ibrahim ibn Talib, Abu Awan al-Isfarayini, the one who wrote Mustakhrir al-Sahih Muslim. He narrated from him. And Abu al-Abbas al-Sarraj, even Imam Tirmidhi. Imam Tirmidhi in Jami' al-Tirmidhi had narrated one hadith from Imam Muslim. So you can see, Imam Tirmidhi, who died in the year 279, he wrote the book before that. So you can see he narrates in his Jami' a hadith from Muslim. And that is in Kitab al-Sawm, Bawu ma ja'a fi ihsa'i hilal al-Sha'ban li Ramadan. So there he said, حَدَّثَنَا مُسْلِمُ بْنُ الْحَجَّاجِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا يَحْيَى بْنُ يَحْيَى قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو مُعَاوِيَةَ عَنْ مُحَمَّدِ بْنِ عَمْرٍ عَنْ أَبِي سَلَمَةَ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَحْصُوا حِلَالَ الشَّعْبَانِ لِرَمَضَانِ. It is there. Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala was a rich man. So he has a business, trade. So it was easy for him to have enough money. So he can survive. That's why he did not need to earn money. So same Bukhari. The Bukhari and Muslim, they were lucky that they have business. So the money keeps coming to them. So they spent so much time outside. So this helped them, for their scholarship. I think most of these people coming from Central Asia, they're rich people. Though then in Islam also, there have been poor people, and they have been big imam, like Imam Ahmad al-Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, or Imam Malik. Imam Shafi'i. So these people are not rich. Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Ahmad al-Hanbal, they are not rich people. So that makes clear, these people prove that whether you're rich or whether you're poor, if you really devote yourself to something, you can excel. Richness or poverty cannot stop you. The other hand, like Imam Hanifa, Layth ibn Sa'ad, Bukhari, Muslim, they are rich people. But still, you see, manage. So rich, whether they're rich or poor, they continue doing their work. So a Muslim has got property and business and his hometown in Nishapur. The reason they say he died is that one day Muslim Hajjaj was teaching and somebody asked him about a hadith which Muslim did not know. He came to his house and he lit the lamp in the night to find that hadith in all his books. And he said, he was in his room, where the library is, in the library. And then he said to the family, nobody should enter into the room. Because they're busy, just working, looking for the hadith. They said, we have got a basket full of dates. take that one, you keep eating and researching. So they gave him the dates. And he was so busy looking for the hadith, he did not realize how much he ate. He kept eating. So it became too much. And that was basically his death. Because, it harmed him somehow. But they said, innahu minha mata. He died because of too much eating of the dates. He did not realize this. And he died in the year 261 of Hijra. So he was less than 60 years old, 50 something, when he died. Very, it's not very long life. Same Bukhari was not, Bukhari was a little bit older than him, but not long life. He did not leave any son, but there was actually his descendant from his daughter's side. What the mazhab of this people in the fiqh, that also should be known very clearly, because you can see there have been this tradition to write tabaqat, book of tabaqat of every mazhab. So tabaqat al-Shafi'iyya, tabaqat al-Hanafiyya, then you have tabaqat al-Hanabila, and then Malikiyya. Everybody is very keen to include every prominent person in their own tabaqat, to make everybody Shafi'iyya. So Bukhari will be Shafi'i among Shafi'i people. Muslim also will be considered Shafi'i. So this is not right. Really. These people don't have this thing. The truth really is, if you look in these books, Bukhari and Abu Dawud, clearly they are mujtahid, independent mujtahid. Abu Dawud's book makes very clear that he's a mujtahid. He's either mujtahid, either Abu Hanifa and Malik and Shafi. He does ijtihad. Same Bukhari. Bukhari is mujtahid. Bukhari does not follow anybody. So Bukhari and Abu Dawud, among these six people, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasir, Majah, among these six, Bukhari, Abu Dawud, they are mujtahid. Muslim and Nasai and Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, they are not mujtahid like that, but they follow the madhab of muhaddithin. Muhaddithin have their own madhab, meaning they follow hadith. Where sound hadith, they follow the hadith. Where they don't have sound hadith, then they follow their own imams. Among those who are circles, they prefer one opinion over the other for any reason that they do. They don't follow anybody particularly. This is not their way. They are not, just follower of one particular person. So they generally, what is understood in the school of the hadith, they're what they follow. Is it clear? So Muslim, Tirmidhi, Nasai, Majah, they are on the madhab of people of hadith, which means where hadith comes, they follow the hadith. And where there's no hadith, and some more details, sometimes they use their own understanding, and sometimes from their own teachers, or somebody who's prominent from in the field of the hadith, they will follow that. But they don't follow any particular imam like Abu Hanifa, or Malik, or Shafi'i. They don't follow like that. And that is the right understanding that Imam Ibn Taymiyyah has mentioned very nicely, and actually he's right. The Ibn Taymiyyah said in Fatawa, volume number 20, and page number 39, he said, "Amma al-Bukhari wa Abu Dawud fa imaman fi al-fiqh min ahli al-ijtihad. Wa amma Muslim wa at-Tirmidhi wa an-Nasa'i wa Ibn Majah wa Ibn Khuzaimah wa Abu Ya'la wa al-Bazzar wa nahwuhum fa hum ala madhhab ahli al-hadith. Laysu muqallidin li wahidin bi'aynihim al-ulama." They don't follow any particular person. "Wala hum من الأئمة المجتهدين على الإطلاق." They are not like Bukhari Muslim, but they do ijtihad. Sometimes they do have their own opinion. They prefer one over the other. They do, but they are not like Bukhari and Abu Dawud, like those people. This is actually no doubt true understanding. If you read the book, these books, you can see very clearly that Abu Dawud and Bukhari, they are mujtahid. That's how they do. Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala has been praised by the people from very early, as I mentioned. Even his teachers used to praise him, like Ishaq al-Mansur, who's teacher Imam Muslim. Once he was teaching, and Muslim was selecting the hadith which he could teach. Ishaq al-Mansur looked at Muslim, and then he said, "Lan na'adam al-khayra ma abqaq al-ghahu lil-muslimina." Muslim is a student, but still Ishaq al-Mansur said, "We will never miss good as long as Allah leaves you alive for Muslims. As long as you are alive, we have good. We don't miss any good." So this is praised by his own teacher. Ishaq ibn Rahway, he said about Muslim, "Ayyu rajulin kana hadha," how great Muslim is. You see, Ishaq ibn Rahway is even great teacher of Bukhari as well. the rulers in Nishapur, they used to prefer, you know, Muslim for imama, for reading the prayer. And there's so many prayers for him, you know, by many people we don't want to spend, because you can read his biographies, especially, you know, you read in Siyaru Alam Nobala. So that will give you good understanding of Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala. So the way is that Bukha, you know, after Ahmad al-Hanbal and Ali al-Madini, the tabaqa, the class that actually more prominent for hadith is tabaqa Bukhari. So when we say tabaqa al-Bukhari, meaning is Bukhari, Abu Hatim al-Razi, Abu Zura al-Razi. So they are top people in hadith, field of hadith in the, you know, like hifz, meaning is they are the one who judge what hadith sound, what not sound, and all those ilal and problem. They among the top people after Ahmad al-Hanbal and Ibn Abi Shayba, Ali ibn Madini, and Yahya ibn Ma'in. After these people, the top people in hadith are Bukhari, Abu Zura al-Razi, Abu Hatim al-Razi. Then after that one, the people who are really in the field, the best among them is Muslim. So after Bukhari's tabaqa, Muslim is the top, you know, in the field of the hadith. And after Muslim, then Nasai. In the next following tabaqa, Nasai is the man. And after that comes people like, you know, Khuzaim and people like him. But these are the people, you know, in different time. And Imam Muslim's expertise was known, as mentioned, during his lifetime. Ibn Abi Hatim al-Razi, who is contemporary of Muslim as well, little junior, but contemporary, he has written, Kana Muslimun thiqatan mil huffaz. Muslim was reliable, he was from expert of hadith. Katabtu anhu bil ray. I wrote hadith from him in ray. Ray is what Tehran now. Wasu'ila abi anhu faqala saduqun. People ask my father about Muslim, and my father said saduqun, he's a true person. And though Abu Hatim al-Razi is like teachers of Muslim, but still he said about Muslim saduqun. Muhammad ibn Bashar, you know, all these six books I mentioned, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, so they have many teachers in common. But there are nine teachers who are in all these six books, nine people. Now everybody knows. So one of those nine people is Muhammad ibn Bashar from Basra. Everybody narrates hadith from him. Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasai, Maja, everybody narrates from him. Muhammad ibn Bashar, who died in the year 252. All the six people, they narrate the hadith from him in their books. He said, Muhammad Bashar said, Huffaru dunya arba'atun. Experts of the hadith in the whole world, therefore. He's the teacher of these people. He's the teacher of Bukhari Muslim. He said, experts of the hadith in the dunya, in the world, are four. Abu Zur'a al-Razi, Muslim ibn al-Hajjaj, Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman al-Darimi by Samarkand, Muhammad Ismail al-Bukhari by Bukhara. Four people. So the first one he mentioned, Abu Zur'a al-Razi. The second he mentioned, Muslim ibn al-Hajjaj. The third one is Imam Darimi, Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman al-Darimi. And the fourth one is Imam Bukhari. These four people are experts of the hadith in dunya, in the whole world. So you can see, Muslim actually is the youngest of all these people. Among all these people, Muslim is the youngest one. Bukhari was born, I mentioned 194. Bukhari is 10 years older than Muslim. Abu Zur'a al-Razi was also born in the same year like Bukhari. So he's exactly the same thing. Darimi was even more senior, even senior than these people. So among all these four people, Muslim is the youngest. But still, you know, one of the teachers said that the four people are experts of the hadith in the world. Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ya'qub ibn al-Akhram said, Innama akharjat Naysabur thalathata rijalin. Nishapur has produced three people. Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Dhuhli, who is senior to Bukhari, and there was a dispute between him and Bukhari, wa Muslim ibn al-Hajjaj wa Ibrahim ibn Abi Talib. Abu Amr ibn Hamdan said, I asked al-Hafidh ibn Uqda about Bukhari and Muslim. Ayyuhuma alam. So you see, from very beginning, comparison between Bukhari and Muslim. No third person. So they're asking about these two people. These two people, Muslim became important because of Sahih. So these two people are important. So when people compare, they compare between these two people. Ibn Uqda is from the 3rd century. Again, you know, died in the beginning of the 4th, but you know, he's among the junior to Bukhari Muslim. So Abu Amr al-Hamdan said, I asked Ibn Uqda about Bukhari Muslim, and أَيُّهُمْ أَعْلَمْ فَقَالَ كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ عَالِمًا وَمُسْلِمٌ عَالِمٌ. Muhammad was alim, and Bukhari was alim, and Muslim was also alim. He did not say who is more alim. فَكَرَّرْتُ عَلَيْهِ مِرَارًا. I repeat the question. No, so tell me who is the more knowledgeable among these two. فَقَالَ يَا أَبَا عَمَرْ قَدْ يَقَعُ لِمُحَمَّدٍ عَلَى غَلَطُ فِي أَهْلِ الشَّامِ. Oh, Abu Amr, Muhammad means Bukhari. Bukhari sometimes does mistake about the narrators of Syria. Some mistakes. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ أَخَذَ كُتُوبَهُمْ فَنَظَرَ فِيهِمْ. Because he took the books and he looked in the books. So when you take from the book, sometimes you can get confused, sometimes you can think somebody mentioned with the kunya, he will be different from his name. When you learn from a teacher, he can verify that the name and kunya is the same person. But Bukhari took from the books, so sometimes he makes same person as two people. فَرُبَّمَا ذَكَرَ الْوَاحِدَ مِنْهُمْ بِكُنْيَتِهِ وَيَذْكُرُوا فِي مَوْضِعٍ آخَرَ بِاسْمِهِ. So he is confusion. يَتَوَهَّمُ أَنَّهُمْ اثْنَانِ وَأَمَّا مُسْلِمٌ فَقَلَّ مَا يَقَعُ لَهُ مِنْ الْغَلَطِ فِي الْعِلَلِ لِأَنَّهُ كَتَبَ الْمَسَانِيدَ وَلَمْ يَكْتُبْ الْمَقَاطِيعَ وَالْمَرَاسِيلَ. Muslim does not have this mistake. The reason also is because Muslim is only concerned about Muslim hadith, while Bukhari is more wide in the knowledge. So when you have so much knowledge, so certainly there will be more mistakes. Ibn Salah said that Imam Muslim has many people who are similar to him. Some people are more important than sometimes equal to him. فَرَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى بِكِتَابِهِ هَذَا إِلَى مَنَاطِ النُّجُومِ. But when Muslim wrote the book, he basically left everybody behind. So before the book, there are many people equal to him, but by this book, he became equal to the stars. وَصَارَ إِمَامًا حُجَّةً يُبْدَأُ ذِكْرُهُ وَيُعَادُ. People start hadith with his name, and they keep repeating his name all the time. وَذَلِكَ فَضُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And Muslim's expertise in the hadith, you know, if you look at the book At-Tam'iz, Tam'iz is a book, it's not completely published. Tam'iz is the book where Muslim discuss the ilal, the problems in the hadith, and it prefers one hadith over the other. If you read that book, it will tell you how much knowledge Muslim has got, Kitab al-Tam'iz. Kitab al-Tam'iz also helps you to understand Sahih Muslim. So when you see that Muslim has selected certain hadith, let something else. Many of those things he already have discussed in his Kitab al-Tam'iz. So Kitab al-Tam'iz, but you know, not fully published. There are, for example, one of the examples, there are hadith in Muwatta. Bukhari Muslim, they have so much respect for Imam Malik, no doubt. In Bukhari Muslim, both you find if hadith is narrated by Muslim, by Malik and by someone else, they will start the chapter with the hadith of Malik. That's what they generally do. In any chapter, if the hadith is from Malik and from Ibn Uyayna, from someone else, the chapter will be started with Malik. Sometimes they leave for a reason. So it is not easy to criticize Malik. But in one hadith, for example, there are a few hadiths where he criticized Malik. One hadith is in Mu'tah Malik, hadith number 183. Which Muslim narrates in his Tam'iz. Muslim said, أَخْبَرْنَا قُطَيْبَةُ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا مَالِكٌ عَنْ هِشَامٍ عَنْ أَبِيهِ. Abih means Urwa ibn Zubair, his father. أَنْهُ سَمِعَ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ ابْنَ عَامِرٍ إِنَّ رَبِيعَةَ يَقُولُ صَلَّيْنَا وَرَاءَ عُمَرِ الْخَطَّابِ. Abdullah ibn Amir Rabi'ah said, we prayed Fajr behind Umar al-Khattab. فَقَرَأَ سُورَةَ يُوسُف وَسُورَةَ الْحَجْ قِرَاءَةً بَطِيئَةً. In the Fajr, Umar Khattab read Surah Yusuf and Surah Hajj slowly. It took how long time? It must be more than 1 hour, you know, to for Fajr prayer. But anyway, it's a long hadith. So then the problem here is in Malik narrated the hadith from Hisham, from his father, from Abdullah. So Malik said, Hisham an Abiyah an Abdullah ibn Amir. That's what Malik said in Muwatta, and that's what Muslim has got from Malik's student. Muslim said, فَخَالَفَ أَصْحَابُ هِشَامٍ هَلُمَّ جَرًّا مَالِكًا فِي هَذَا الْإِسْنَادِ فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. All other students of Hisham, they differ from Malik in this hadith. Malik is the one who says Hisham Anabih, but everybody else does not say Anabih. Anabih is not mentioned in other narrations. Abu Usama and Hisham, Qala Akhbarani Abdullah ibn Amir. Waqi and Hisham, Akhbarani Abdullah ibn Amir. Hatim and Hisham, An Abdullah ibn Amir. So many people, he mentions one after the other that everybody narrates the hadith from Hisham, from Abdullah ibn Amir. Malik is the only person who said Hishamun an Abihi. Qala Muslimun. فهؤلاء عدة من أصحاب هشام كلهم قد أجمعوا في هذا الإسناد على خلاف مالك. These are the few people in this hadith, all of them they differ from Malik in this matter. والصواب ما قالوا دون ما قال مالك. The correct one is what they say, not what Malik said. So you can see how they compare. You know, this is one example. There are a few more examples that I have written here. So this will tell you that Malik, Muslim was a thinker. You know, it's not like, you know, any muhaddith. He compares, he knows clearly, you know, what is sound, what is not sound. This is very clearly from his book. The problem happened really when people read this book and they teach it, they don't teach as a Muslim has organized. It's really very clear. He wants to make clear that what the, you know, and people can learn the science of hadith more clearly from Muslim than anybody else. Because this is the book, is the most clear book about the matter, you know, how to prefer one hadith over the other. He named the book Al-Musnad As-Sahih Al-Mukhtasar Min As-Sunan Binaqli Al-Adil Al-Adil Al-Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he mentioned the Muqaddimah, why he wrote his book. And when we start the Muqaddimah, I'll mention that. Imam Muslim's book is well organized, meaning the Muqaddimah, Kitabul Iman, Kitabul Tahara, Kitabul Salah, all organized. But the names of the chapters and the books are not written by him. The book has order, but without chapter heading. It all hadiths are, you know, connected, but if you know, you can see here one chapter ends and the new chapter starts. But Muslim did not make any separation, nothing. There's no Kitab, no Bab, nothing is there. He just from beginning to the end, he organized, he put nicely. Like for example, if somebody, you know, puts Quran, Mus'haf together without Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So it is still a very surah different, but then you don't know really where the surah starts unless you think. So Muslim did not put any Kitab or Bab. Though the book is in order, one kitab, then second kitab, third kitab, but the name of the kitab is not there. There's no Kitabul Iman or about Abwab al-Tahara and things like that. They don't exist. People later on, they wanted to make it easier. So they other people, they started putting kitab. Kitabul Iman, Kitabul Tahara, their Abwab. And in this matter, people kept adding over the other. So in everybody who has his own Sahih Muslim, they differ in the books and kitab and Abwab from the other people. Until Imam Nawawi comes, and he adds many, many things. And now the Imam Nawawi's chapterization, that becomes the most standard one. After Imam Nawawi, anybody who write a commentary on Sahih Muslim, they basically take Imam Nawawi's chapterization as Muslim's one. Like in India, people wrote commentary, it all chapters are from Muslim, from Nawawi. Nothing from, you know, they follow. So Nawawi became the most standard one. And Nawawi is a Shafi'i. No, maybe not very biased, but certainly if he finds that something supports Shafi'i madhab, the chapter heading will be there. Sometimes very long chapter heading. So it becomes like Imam Muslim himself is Shafi'i because of the chapter heading of Imam Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala. And that actually is very clear from the commentary of Nawawi. For example, in one of the places, Imam Nawawi discussed something, volume number 4 and chapter page number 135. Imam Nawawi said, وَقَدْ قَدَّمْنَا فِي آخِرِ الْبَابِ السَّابِقِ دَلِيلَ مَا ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي التَّرْجَمَةِ. We have mentioned in the at the end of the previous chapter, دَلِيلَ of what I mentioned in the tarjama. Tarjama means this heading. It means I. Why he said I? He does not say مَا ذَكَرْهُ مُسْلِمٌ فِي التَّرْجَمَةِ. He said what? مَا ذَكَرْتُهُ. Means the tarjama, the chapter heading is from Nawawi, not from Muslim. Similarly, in another place, he said, وَفِيهَ بَيَانُ مَا ذَكَرْنَاهُ فِي التَّرْجَمَةِ. So it is, there is a clear indication, and that's why you can see keeps differing. So this is the one of the problem of misunderstanding of the Sahih Muslim. Because now when you see a chapter heading, and hadith comes in Sahih Muslim, so So you think this is the first hadith in this chapter according to Muslim. And then the chapter ends. So what is the last hadith? You think it is the last hadith in this chapter. Without realizing really that it's being first hadith or last hadith depends on Nawi. Nawi one who divided the Bab. Nawi one they made this hadith the first and that one hadith last. Not a Muslim. It is not a Muslim who decided this. It is Nawi. Now when you read Sahih Muslim, you are reading with the eye of Nawi. So in this chapter, this hadith is the first. Who says this? No, because you read that, how you reading? Because chapter headings are from Nawi. That is the problem for many people. Because some people, and somebody in Saudi Arabia has written a book and he wants to say that Sahih Muslim has no order. And then argumented in this chapter, this hadith, weak hadith, this hadith, there is no order. Without realizing that this chapter headings are not from Muslim. You can't judge Muslim by this chapter headings. So, you know, this is one of the things, inshallah, I'll make explanation when it comes to the Muqaddimah. This is one of the things that I'm emphasizing in my, actually, I already have done anyway, in my commentary on Sahih Muslim. So, I divided this whole work in a few stages. So, the first stage was, this is the first stage that actually I determined what is the chapter, Kitab and Bab, according to Muslim. So, I got rid of all these chapter headings from Nawawi and everybody else and put new chapter heading. Making clear what is the first hadith, how Muslim start, what Muslim has in mind. So that is the first thing I have done. So alhamdulillah, that helped me a lot. Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala has selected this book from nearly 300,000 hadiths. I just want to finish this and we can have asked some questions. Anyway, because some of the things I will discuss when I start Muqaddimah next week. But one thing is that people generally have been saying that between Bukhari and Muslim, the most sound book is Bukhari. If you compare between Bukhari and Muslim, Bukhari is the more sound than Muslim. Except Abu Ali al-Naisaburi. Abu Ali al-Naisaburi said that Muslim is more sahih than Bukhari. And until now, everybody has been criticized Abu Ali al-Naisaburi. They think, it can't be. It's very clear and all those things. But alhamdulillah, now through my reading and understanding, I realize, people are reading these two books from two different angles. What Abu Ali al-Naisaburi said, that is the right thing. Abu Ali al-Naisaburi, what he does, he understands Muslim's methodology. He knows that in every chapter, the hadith sahih to Muslim is the hadith which are usul, first hadith. After that, there are mutaba'at. He does not count mutaba'at. If you follow Muslim's methodology, then basically Muslim is more sahih than Bukhari. Because in Sahih Muslim, not every hadith is sahih. Many hadiths are just mutaba supportive isnad. Take them out, remove them. What is left now, compare those one with Bukhari. They are more sound than Bukhari. Then mistakes very little. Most mistakes in Muslim are in mutaba'at. Most criticism has been done in Muslim is on mutabat, not on usul. And Muslim is actually usul. Hadith of usul in Muslim, they are more sound than Bukhari. People who say Bukhari is more sound, they treat all Sahih Muslim as same. So then they say there are so many hadith Muslim have been criticized, not in Bukhari. So Bukhari is in as a whole better than more sound than Muslim. So this is misunderstanding of Muslim's methodology. If you understand Muslim's methodology, then it becomes clear that as for being sound hadith, Muslim is more sound than Bukhari. So this is one thing, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala helped me to understand from my commentary that Muslim is really more sound. Bukhari has many, many virtues. But from that angle, Sihha, Muslim more sound. If you just take the usul, not mutaba'at, because mutaba'at not his condition. He makes very clear in Muqaddimah it will come. So I stop it here. And also one thing, as I mentioned, generally, in isnad, Bukhari is higher than Muslim. But there are few isnad where Muslim is higher than Bukhari. And especially hadith of Ahmad al-Hanbal. Muslim has got hadith of Ahmad al-Hanbal directly from Ahmad al-Hanbal in the class. So Muslim narrates from Ahmad al-Hanbal directly. Bukhari did not come to Ahmad al-Hanbal when Ahmad al-Hanbal was teaching. He was start from teaching. So Bukhari only has time to do mudhakara, revising the hadith with Ahmad al-Hanbal. He did mudhakara. Bukhari the way he does not take hadith of mudhakara, to include his book. No, he does not do this. So whenever he needs any hadith of Ahmad al-Hanbal, he narrates that from someone from Ahmad al-Hanbal. In those hadith, Muslim has become one level, one degree higher than Bukhari. In Sahih Bukhari, there's no single hadith basically from Ahmad al-Hanbal directly, no single hadith. So Ayat Bukhari does not have any hadith from Imam Hanifa. He does not have any hadith also from Imam Shafi. And he does not have any hadith directly from Ahmad al-Hanbal. The only among the four Imams, Bukhari is actually very keen to have hadith is Malik. Bukhari and Muslim both are full of the hadith of Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. So we stop it here, and if you have any question, please ask.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Jazakallah khair. Do we know which year Imam Muslim, rahimullah, studied from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimullah, versus Imam Bukhari?
Yeah, that's a good question. It could be around 230 or something like that. That is time when he came, actually. That could be time traveling he came. So that is time I think Abu Dawud also has learned from him. So Abu Dawud and Muslim both narrate directly from Ahmad al-Hanbal. Everybody else, they narrate from someone from Ahmad al-Hanbal. But Abu Dawud and Muslim, they narrate from him directly. Abu Dawud more, Muslim less, but both narrate from him directly.
Hello?
Yeah.
Just going back to the point about the chapters, I still find it with Bukhari, I mean, the work that he's Muslim, the work that he's produced, having Bukhari as a contemporary, and you know, in Bukhari's book, you have chapters, but what was stopping him from, you know, having those chapters in place for Muslim? And you know, just looking at the history now, all the confusion you're talking about, I mean, wouldn't it have made it?
So
the Muslim book without the chapters, you know, what stopped him from is including chapters? It was something that was well known. Bukhari did it. It would have probably stopped a lot of the confusion now that we find. And
you know, Bukhari's purpose. Bukhari actually is a mujtahid, and Bukhari's purpose is not only sound hadith. He wants to prove that sound hadith are enough in our religion. So he wants to have chapter heading. And for every chapter heading, he brings hadith to make argument. The same hadith keeps repeating as well. His purpose is to prove that. He has another effort. Muslim does not have this thing. Muslim does not want to prove. Muslim's purpose only is to present to you sound hadith. That's why he does not repeat. The one chapter keeps coming because his purpose is this. But this sound hadith, he also put them in an order so people can see. But he does not want to basically force a meaning of the hadith. Because when he puts chapter heading, then you understand the hadith in the light of that chapter heading. There is Bukhari wants to force an understanding. Muslim does not do this. Muslim just wants to leave it open. Another thing is, book of Muslim really difficult to put chapter heading. That I realized now later on, I realized what happened in Muslims. So Muslim is a very good in order. So he'll start a chapter, bab, then next bab. But between those two bab, there will be hadith which will have a relation to the previous bab and the next one. We are going to include this one. This always I have difficulty to then not basically you have to force yourself to put a chapter heading, but otherwise the book does not accept that. Book is not written that way. It is separate. So you can see the last hadith of a chapter will have something which will belong to that. Means you moving from one thing to other thing. Same kitab. So he moves from one kitab to other kitab. The last hadith will be have a connection between these two kitabs. This keeps coming. So it is very difficult to, because, you know, so if you want to, meaning is that hadith is not the last hadith of the bab, last hadith of the whole kitab. So how are we going to put a chapter? That difficulty I have felt. Then I have to explain that in the footnotes. Because if you have to put chapter heading, I'm doing this. So chapter heading does not do justice because Muslim's book actually is very difficult to put chapter heading the way he has done. It's really amazing work. You know, once it is inshallah complete, I've done, you can see how amazing the work is in many, many, from many, many angles.
Sheikh, it's like tanasub of surah, Sheikh.
Sorry?
It's like tanasub of the surah in the Quran almost.
Yeah, this actually, in the beginning I was confused. Then I realized what Imam Mawla Farahi has done in Quran. Because in Quran, what Mawla Farahi does is, he said that sometimes you read a Quranic verse, and then a verse comes, you find no link between this verse and between the verses before that. Reason is the verses before that, they are like Jumla Mu'tarida. The link is with the three or four verses before that, because these three have come, three verses have come to remove some ambiguity, some clarity. You have to connect it with the verses before that. That also I found Sahih Muslim. Some hadith they come for some ten connection, but the next one comes connected to the verse hadith before that, because these are just in between for some other purpose. That Muslims keep to, you know, the amazing people. This actually has power for many people in Musnad al-Hanbal as well. In Musnad al-Hanbal, it all called Sahaba, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, all these Sahaba. Sometime in the Musnad, you find hadith of another Sahabi, where actually it is Musnad of Ibn Umar, but you find another Sahabi. So many people have been saying, because Musnad was not well organized and this and that, you know, all this problem, this problem can happen because Imam al-Hanbal did not write properly. This is not true, really. The reason is because there he wants to teach you something. He brings that is hadith, is another for a mutaba, for a shahid. He wants to remove some misunderstanding. So he brings another hadith, another sahabi. That actually, he wants to teach something else there. So it is not that it is a wrong order. It is just they bring one or two hadith from somewhere because there is something that need to be clarified, made clear. So actually, this is a mistake I did. Once I found a hadith in a Muslim, and there was no connection. So then I forced myself, and I thought it must be a mistake of this. I changed the order and put somewhere else. But more. Then I realized, no, this mistake should not be done. I have to look more carefully. And then I looked more carefully and found really he has something else in mind. Then I decided not to disturb the book, leave as it is. And if I don't understand, I can say in the footnote, I didn't understand. That's much better, because there must be much more logic which we don't understand. Very clever people.